Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm Eddie Garcia, in for David Ford. The Magnolia Baroque Festival is known for its musical and educational programming, as well as featuring world-renowned early music soloists. Lucky for us, some of these gifted players took the time to visit WFDD for a live performance in Studio A and to have a conversation with David Ford. So here's tenor Glenn Siebert, violinist Ingrid Matthews, oboist Deborah Nagy, and fiorbo and lute player John Lenti.
The Chaconne in C by Lully. But when you finish a piece like that, what's the feeling like? I'm going to throw it your way, John. I've never seen the theorbo in action live like that. It's a very physical instrument. You're really invested in it. I mean, it was fun to watch and hear.
Oh, well, it's a lot of fun to play. I have a background in guitar, and you know, you get accustomed to playing on smaller, you know, well, instruments that don't have like 10 inches worth of bridge to play. And so, you know, you get to cover a lot of real estate. And in something like this, where I'm the only bass line instrument, usually I'm sharing that duty with a harpsichord and a cello and other things. In this case, I get to play all these notes and, you know, figure out as best I can inventive ways of making it a satisfying musical texture. So it's, well, you said when we get to the end, how do we feel? Part of it is, whew, I managed to play most of the notes without a cello to help. But also it's great fun to be the one sort of holding it down, you know, to feel like I get to support the two melodic instruments.
Would you describe the dimensions of this? That's an amazing instrument just to look at. We're talking about a theorbo here.
Theorbo, yeah. The instrument is about 5 feet long. It's held in the lap like a guitar. It's got two ranks of strings. I've got short strings that are tuned in intervals kind of similar to a guitar or a lute. It's different, but more or less the same idea. I fret them, and I strum, and I pluck, just like I would, you know, whatever other instrument. And then it's got a second rank of strings that are twice as long as those, and they're tuned in a scale. So it's like I have the bass range of a harp tacked on to my lute. And that's actually exactly what they did initially. The earliest theorbos were conversion jobs. Like they took a big lute. The lute usually has that neck that bends back. And they sawed that off and they glued on an extension with extra strings. And so what I have is an instrument with, you know, a wonderful rich bass range. And the harmony. So, like, I don't have to fret those low strings. They're just tuned in a scale. So I only, you know, I just play them with the thumb of my right hand, and that frees up my fingers and my right hand, and then the left hand to make the harmony up above.
You've got a lute on steroids.
Lute on steroids, yeah. Or a lute and a garden rake that had a baby, you know. Like, there are a lot of different things that people compare it to.
I'm looking over your shoulder here looking at the music. I mean, this is like a sometimes jazz piano player at home where we have the real book and just a chord symbol and maybe a melody. That's what you're working on here. I'm hearing all these amazing sounds, and I know you're not winging it. It's all based on a system and a tradition, but talk about what you've got before you and how you're turning that into these glorious kind of symphonic sounds.
Okay, well, what I have in front of me is just a bass line. It's just a single melodic line, and what I have written above some of the notes of the bass line are numbers. The numbers, we call them figures, and what they do is they indicate what the harmony is supposed to be. You work to a certain extent according to the key signature of the piece. Like, if I don't have anything written, then I just play kind of what makes sense. So it's a very freeing kind of notation just to have these figural suggestions above the bass line.
I want to get in some of the freedom then from a melodic sense too, Deborah, because I'm hearing just through the ornamentation and the nuance of what you're doing with Ingrid, that freedom, but I don't know how much of that is in an improvisatory sense or how much of it's written in from a melodic perspective.
Well, I think there is a lot of freedom. I hesitate to say improvisation, though there is some of that as well. Part of the freedom is rhythmic freedom. So, I mean, you're looking over my shoulder as well. My page is full of quarter notes and eighth notes. That doesn't really amount to very much interest-wise. But the French had a tradition of playing their eighth notes unequally, and there was a great flexibility. When I look at the page, I look at, you know, these quarter notes and eighth notes and maybe dotted quarter notes, and those tell me less about how I should play those individual notes so much as where the next note comes and what I might fit in between.
So you might see, for the non-musician out there listening, you might see a group of eighth notes, which traditionally would just be da 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 da. But in a French sense, oftentimes that might be more lilting, or give me an example of that.
It could be da da ti da ta da ta, which had hopefully five or six different qualities of eighth note in that bar of eighth notes that you just sang.
And how do you get on the same page with Ingrid? Because you're playing a lot of these lines together, and how do you know that she's going to be taking that on the same way you are?
I mean, we come from a kind of a common knowledge base in terms of performance practice, but we're also good chamber musicians, and we're listening and responding and, you know, on the fly.
Well, I was really enjoying not only hearing you all play, but the movement. I think seeing and hearing you all perform together, it's so worthwhile because it somehow contemporizes it. I mean, there's this dance-like sense, there's this drive, there's this energy that I'm picking up on, and you're actually moving together many of the times. Ingrid, talk about the bringing out the dance in this Chaconne.
Well, I think bringing out the dance has a lot to do with what Deborah was talking about with the rhythm. That a chaconne is, you could say it's two things. It's a repetitive harmonic pattern, as John mentioned. It's based on four descending chords that repeat over and over. So that's one thing, but it's also a dance, and it needs to feel like a dance. And if we played all of the eighth notes and quarter notes very straight, it might not feel like a dance. So what Deborah's talking about, and you asked sort of how we decide or how we know exactly how we're going to vary the rhythm and put our slightly unequal spin on the eighth notes. It's all sort of organized around the strong downbeats, and the result of that is that it feels more dance-like.
Well, I want to talk about your instrument, but let's hear some more music first. I feel like a kid in a candy store. What's next on the program? We're hearing something from Caccini.
Yeah, Giulio Caccini was a singer-composer who really helped develop opera, and he had a style of singing as well that had a lot of freedom, just like the Lully. And he called it sprezzatura, and that was a kind of casualness of rhythm that you were to bring to the music.
Sprezzatura.
Sprezzatura.
Sprezzatura. And last year it was trillo. We always get a new word out of you.
You know, I'll do a trillo for you too.
Will you do a trilo? Just for me. This is a dedicated trilo. Yeah. And I should say, this is Glenn Siebert, fine tenor and founder director of Magnolia Baroque Festival. Here is, what's the title of this ditty?
Amarilli mia bella. Amaryllis, my sweetie.
Live from Studio A, Glenn Siebert. He'll be accompanied on the theorbo by John Lenti.
Non credi o del mio dor, dolce desio, d'esser tu, amore mio. Credilo pur. E se ti morta sale, dubitar non ti vale. Apri il petto e vedrai scritto in cuore. Amare.
Magnolia Baroque Festival players Glenn Siebert, Ingrid Matthews, Deborah Nagy, and John Lenti live in Studio A and interviewed by David Ford. Check WFDD.org and click on Try It Arts Weekend for updated info on Magnolia Baroque and where else you might catch these musicians in the meantime.
Need to take one more short break, but when we come back, it's time for Winston-Salem's Kings and Queens of Real Country Music, the Bo Stevens. They'll be live in Studio A and in conversation with me in a mere 60 seconds when Triad Arts Weekend continues.